Good morning to you. Will you turn to Acts chapter 4, please? Acts chapter 4. This is the mission of the apostles and the mission of the church. The main business of the church is how we live with one another and care for one another. You have heard quite a few sermons from me on this theme. I feel a bit sorry for you, because there are many other teachings in the Bible, and recently you've gotten less of that from me. Here's why. Our COVID years made unity a challenge, and one way or another, unity challenges will come back to us. So it's good to have a foundation in Scripture that urges us to unity. Also, I'm trying to write a book to say that in the New Testament, the central mark of the church is the one another emphasis. The center is not outreach, it is loving one another. That is not the only call to us, it is not the only call, but it is the strongest call. So these sermons are raw material for that book. Also, we have our Church Covenant Sunday in 2 months, and these sermons set the stage for that. And if you're just tired of all this, the good news is that we will do one more, Act 6, next week, and then we will branch out and do other things. So this sermon today is about two different missions. The mission of the apostles was to preach the word, preach the gospel, witness to the resurrection of Jesus. The mission of the church is to be the people of God, to be one in heart and mind, and to take care of each other. So turn to Acts 4:33, for what I'm saying is as clear in that verse as anywhere. And today we will begin in verse 33, which is actually in the middle of our text, and then we'll go through it afterward. The Spirit produces two missions. The Spirit produces two missions. 4:33. With great power, the apostles gave their witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was at work in them all, that there were no needy persons among them. So God's great power and grace takes his people in two different directions. God's great help leads the apostles to speak the gospel openly and to do signs and wonders. And God's great help leads the church body to be unified and take care of each other. So God's helping presence takes these two different forms among his people. Verse 33 does not mention the Holy Spirit, but the miraculous energy of the Holy Spirit is all through this. When the Holy Spirit is powerfully present, how do we think that will look? What do we think will happen? One, the apostles will preach the word boldly, and they will perform signs and wonders. This makes sense to us. We expect the power of the Holy Spirit to look like that. That's what we've been taught. Two, the body of believers will be heart and soul one, and they will take care of each other. And we want to say, no, that's not the power of the Holy Spirit, not the same way. But it is. That's the point of Acts, the same miraculous spirit power in one as the other. That's the whole reason Luke sets up verse 33 the way he does. Great power on the apostles to witness, great grace on the church to take care of each other. In both cases, the word great means miraculous help from the Holy Spirit. And that's really the only explanation for either one of these. The apostles aren't that wonderful. The Gospels taught us that. People in the church aren't that wonderful either. They're just more ordinary people. What the apostles do and what the church does comes from the wonderful Holy Spirit. So that's the center of our text today, the two missions. So here's the story around that center. The bigger story, and here we will start in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. The bigger story is Acts 3 and 4, those two chapters. In Acts 3:1, Peter and John went to the temple for the daily prayers, and on the way in, they met a lame man, whom they healed. It says, he jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. And so a crowd came around, and they wanted to know what happened. And Peter said, "Don't look at us as if we were anything special. We're just like you. This happened by the power of Jesus, whom you handed over to be crucified by Pilate, but God raised him from the dead. That's why this man can walk." So Peter preached Christ to the crowd that gathered in the temple, and I love the last line of his sermon. This is the last line of Acts chapter 3. "God sent his servant Jesus to you to bless you by turning you from your evil ways." God sent his servant to Jesus to us also to bless us by turning us from our evil ways. That's a blessing that sticks in my mind. But the high priests and the rulers came up then and arrested Peter and John. So Peter preached the same things to the priests and the rulers. And they didn't like it, but the healed man was right there and they didn't know what to do. So the rulers put Peter and John out of the room and they discussed this. And they decided that they could not punish this, but they could command the apostles not to speak like this anymore. And they could promise all kinds of punishment if the apostles kept preaching about Jesus in this way. So they brought the two apostles back and said this to them. And Peter said, "We have to obey God rather than people. We are not quitting." The rulers made more threats and they let them go. So Peter and John went back and got together with the other 10 apostles, and the 12 prayed together. In chapter 4, verses 23 to 31, they prayed that God would hear the threats of the rulers and that God would make the apostles bold because they were scared. This brings up a scholarly debate, something that sermons should not have, but once in a while it is necessary. Who prays together in Acts 4, 23 to 31? Most of your Bibles will have a heading above Acts 24:23 that says the believers pray. I'm convinced that should be the apostles pray rather than the believers pray. And you have a right to an explanation about that. So scholars are actually divided. Good scholars say these verses describe the church praying together, and other good scholars say it is just the apostles praying together. Verse 23 opens with Peter and John going back to their own people. And their own people could mean either the rest of the apostles or the rest of their church. So their own people kind of leaves it open. But I am sure that these verses tell us about the apostles praying together because of how it ends. It ends this way: they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Until Acts 6, the apostles are the only ones preaching the gospel, the only ones speaking the word, as Acts calls it. After Acts 6, the Lord calls more people to preach, Stephen and Philip and Paul, but not before that. Even after that, all believers are not filled to speak the word, just the ones the Lord calls. In Acts 6, we read about the widows in the church being neglected in the daily food distribution. In that story, the 12 spoke to all the believers and they said, "It's not right for us to leave the word of God to wait on tables. You pick 7 to wait on tables and we'll devote ourselves to the ministry of the word." That is in Acts 6. If already in Acts 4, all believers were speaking the word of God boldly, The words of the 12 about needing to preach the word in Acts 6 make no sense. It only works if in Acts 6 the 12 are still the only ones preaching the word of God. And that means the prayer for boldness in Acts 4 comes from the 12. The heading in your Bible above Acts 4:23 should say the apostles pray for boldness. And now we will read verses 29 to 37, and I want to show you, now we're moving back to our basic theme of two different missions. Acts carefully goes back and forth between the apostles and the church to show the mission of the apostles and contrast it with the mission of the church. So, the mission of the apostles is in verse 29 to 31. Now, Lord, the apostles pray, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. That's the apostles. And then we find the mission of the church in the next verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Now Luke gives us both sides again, just to be completely clear. The mission of the apostles again. With great power, the apostles gave their witness to the resurrection of Jesus. And then we have the mission of the church again, beginning in the middle of verse 33. And great grace was at work in them all, so there was no needy person among them. For, from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, and they brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now we're going to talk a little bit here about the purpose of Acts, based on what we have just seen. The purpose of Acts is that the gospel creates the new people of God. The gospel creates the new people of God. In Revelation 7, John sees a great crowd that no one can number, a multitude from every nation and tribe and people and language, and they're all praising God and the Lamb. Acts tells us how that happened, how the gospel spread from Jerusalem, one city, by the work of the Holy Spirit, to include more and more of the world's nations and peoples in one body. When Acts describes the church, it does not speak about more witnesses and more missionaries. It speaks about the new people of God, the new nation, the new society, and how they are unified and love one another. All of this just echoes how Moses taught Israelites to live with each other back in the Old Testament. So the mission of the church is to be this new holy people, this new holy nation, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the city on a hill. They will know we're his disciples if we love one another. So Acts teaches us that the gospel of Christ brings this new people of God into existence. And the gospel spreads so that this will happen. At this early stage of Acts, the apostles were preaching the gospel, but that did not take them out of local church life. They would not wait on tables. They had a different service. But the people brought their money to the feet of the apostles. The apostles were involved in that church and knew who had the real needs, and they handled it from there. The apostles were connected enough to the church to be impressed with that Levite from Cyprus, whose name was Joseph. The apostles saw that consolation poured out of this man onto other believers, and they called him Barnabas, son of consolation. So those called to service outside the local church stayed involved in local churches. And that was consistent in the New Testament, though sadly it is not always true now. So, what's for us? We are the church. Our business before God, as a church, Kleefeld Christian Community, our mission is to be his people. We cannot treat our life with each other as optional or an accessory to Christian life. Jesus was not much interested in love for God that didn't show itself in our love for one another. This is a real challenge in our individualistic society and our endless distractions, and our lives are already so busy and full. On the other hand, with God's great help, much of this happens here. I see much. And I see just a fraction of what's going on among you. God has been pulling us this way for a long time, and it shows up in this body. The only question to ask is, what works for me? Don't worry about what others do that does not work for you. We all have limitations based on who we are and our situation. Right now, almost every household in this church carries significant difficulty or painful trouble. Almost every household. That's our situation. Yet the Lord brings us together and we worship and we pray together and we eat the bread and we drink from the cup. What works for you? Some of us serve the body regularly, some once in a while. That's all the Holy Spirit at work. Some of us do things at the front, some do things no one sees. That is the Holy Spirit at work. What feels like something you could do that builds unity and serves others? Don't ask me what you should do. I don't know. I have my hands full sorting out what I should do. So what shows up at your door? Like what comes? What works? God has done us a great kindness by showing us what direction the Spirit wants to take the church. And that's what Acts 4 gives us. We need to know what direction the Spirit is leading, and it's good for us to know that. And all of this already happens here. I am only saying what you already do in 100 ways, and you have been for years. We all have limitations, and church life has never been any different than that. The Holy Spirit, people, is not limited by our limitations. 5 loaves and 2 fish can go a long way. The Holy Spirit is not limited by our limitations, and we have a mission, and every week the Holy Spirit's power carries it along. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you said that the fields were ripe, but the workers were few, and we should pray to you to send more workers into your fields. Lord of the harvest, there are not enough workers in those fields. There are people out there ready to turn to you. Send your people out with the good news, fill them with the Spirit, and send workers into your fields. And Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, us here, so we can be heart and soul one, and so we can serve one another and care for one another. Lord, we want to bring glory to your name. We want to live like your people. Have mercy on us and fill us with your Spirit for this. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us a spirit of unity among ourselves as we follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.